Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th Canto, Chapter 10, Prahlad, the best among exalted devotees, Text 4.
Na
anyata
te
akila guru gateta
karuna atmana
ya te
ashisha
ashaste
na
sa
britya
sa
vai
vanik.
Nanyatha te
kila guru
Nanyatha te kila guru
Gateta karunatmana
Gateta karunatmana
Yasta ashisha ashaste
Yasta ashisha ashaste
Nasa britya savaivanik
Nasa britya savaivanik
Nanyatha te kila guru
Nanyatha te kila guru
Gateta karunatmana
Gateta karunatmana
Yasta ashisha ashaste
Yasta ashisha ashaste
Nasa britya savaivanik
Nasa britya savaivanik
Nanyatha
wants to get material profit from his business. Translation. Otherwise, my Lord, O Supreme Instructor of the entire world, you are so kind to your devotee that you could not induce him to do something unbeneficial for him. On the other hand, one who desires some material benefit in exchange for devotional service cannot be your pure devotee. Indeed, he is no better than a merchant who wants profit in exchange for service. Purport. It is sometimes found that one comes to a devotee or a temple of the Lord just to get some material benefit. Such a person is described here as a mercantile man. Bhagavad Gita speaks of arto jigyasa atarti. The word arta refers to one who is physically distressed, and atarti refers to one in need of money. Such persons are forced to approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead for mitigation of their distress, or to get some money by the benediction of the Lord. They have been described as sukriti, pious, because in their distress or need for money, they have approached the Supreme Lord. Unless one is pious, one cannot approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead. However, although a pious man may receive some material benefit, one who is concerned with material benefits cannot be a pure devotee. When a pure devotee receives material opulences, this is not because of his pious activity, but for the service of the Lord. When one engages in devotional service, one is automatically pious. Therefore, a pure devotee is anya-vilashita-shunyam. He has no desire for material profit, nor does the Lord induce him to try to profit materially. When a devotee needs something, the Supreme Personality of Godhead supplies it. Yoga-shemam-vaham-yaham. Sometimes materialists go to a temple to offer flowers and fruits to the Lord because they have learned from Bhagavad Gita that if a devotee offers some flowers and fruits, the Lord accepts them. In Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says, Patram pushpam phalam toyam yome bhaktya prayashtati taraham bhaktyuparitam ashnami prayatatmana. If one offers me with love and devotion a leaf, a flower, fruit, or water, I will accept it. Thus, a man with a mercantile mentality thinks that if he can get some material benefit, like a large amount of money, simply by offering a little fruit and flower, this is good business. Such persons are not accepted as pure devotees. Because their desires are not purified, they are still mercantile men, even though they go to temples to make a show of being devotees. Sarvopadhi vinirmuktam tatparatena nirmalam. Only when one is fully free from material desires can one be purified. And only in that purified state can one serve the Lord. Hrishikesha sevanam bhakti uchate. This is the pure devotional platform. Om Gyana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshun Militamena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. What is the context of this response by the 5-year-old devotee, Prahlad Maharaj? The context is that in the previous chapter, Lord Nrisimhadev has offered Prahlad material benedictions. Now, you might think, as we discussed a little bit in previous days, what is the Lord doing, trying to make his devotee fall down? What is this? I think there's a legal term when police try to do that to people.
Entrapment.
Is that allowed in Australia? No, also in the USA, when the police do that, then the judges throw the case out of court. Like when you're walking down the street and the police allure you with some drugs, and then you buy the drugs, and then, we caught you. That's entrapment. Krishna is not trying to entrap us and make life difficult for us to go back to Godhead. Although sometimes we may think that. Why is Krishna putting so many impediments in my path? All I need is this, 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 and this, and I'll be fine. Sometimes we feel like that. If Krishna is actually the Supreme Lord, then why doesn't he take this impediment away, get rid of that person who's bothering me, get rid of that person who's ordering me around, and everything will be fine. If Krishna is actually the Supreme Lord, he should know that I need this and I need that right now. Then my service will be fine. No, Krishna does not specialize in making your life miserable. Krishna is simply pure bliss. And he specializes in making your life blissful. But we have some conceptions. We have some programs that cause us problems. But we like to blame the problems on Krishna. Now, what is the Lord doing here with Prahlad Maharaj? He's asked him, my pastime is to fulfill all desires, therefore you can ask from me any benediction. It's interesting to think of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in that way. Can we get more air by opening the door or without putting the fan on? What's the recommended method? Door is okay? All right. Krishna says his pastime is to fulfill desires. When you start thinking of the Lord in this way, then you can understand that Krishna is a person and he reciprocates. And you have important things called desires. Your desires are a very important thing about indicating where you're at. And we've discussed in previous days how you have to be careful about your desires because they are going to lead you into different situations. Bhakti yoga is the process for refining your desires so that you only desire what Krishna wants. So it is our desires that get us into trouble, not Krishna. And Krishna fulfills the desires in such a way that the devotees, even if they have material desires, they learn their lesson. This is explained in Chaitanya Charitamrita. The Lord says, if I have a devotee who's worshipping me for material desires, I will fulfill those desires in such a way that the devotee forgets them and instead takes the nectar of my lotus feet. I'll fulfill those desires in such a way that the devotee won't ask for it again, realizing that I'd rather have the nectar of devotional service. In this way, the Lord says he's like an expert physician who, in dealing with a sick patient, doesn't give the patient things that might worsen the disease. So we have to have confidence in devotional service that even in spite of our material desires, if we try to engage in devotional service, Krishna will purify us through the service. Now what happens if you don't have any devotional service? How are you going to get purified? Devotee means devotional service, not just, I believe in Krishna. Nowhere in Bhagavad Gita do you see Krishna asking for belief in him. Everywhere, Krishna asks for action. Give me devotional service. And even though you have material desires, by engaging in service, Krishna will gradually induce you to forget your material desires and instead want the nectar of his lotus feet. So this is very important, because the Lord says in Chaitanya Charitamrita that someone who's serving me for material desires is like they're serving me for poison instead of nectar. Material desires are poisonous. In devotional service, it is common that we have stipulations. Well, I can't do service unless there's this. I can't do service unless there's that. And sometimes we begin to press about it. Krishna, come on. Come on through. Hurry up. It's a very purifying part of devotional service to adjust to Krishna's schedule. It's very purifying. We've got it all figured out. Right now, if I just get this, I just get that, presto, I'll be ready to render service. All I need is this, this, and this. Krishna should know that. He's in my heart. What's the delay? Don't you want me to serve you, Krishna? Where is it? Where's what I need? Don't you want me to go back to Godhead? I'm trying to serve you. So, I mean, come on, give me what I want. It's all for you. In this way, we impede our own progress in devotional service. Now, what does Prahlad Maharaj say about this? Now, you might be thinking that the Supreme Lord is being sadistic for trying to entrap Prahlad, but Prahlad has already explained that the only reason Lord Nrisimhadeva asked him, what kind of benediction do you want, is to demonstrate that Prahlad would not accept any material benefits. The Lord is demonstrating that Prahlad has the characteristics of a pure devotee. So there's no question of fault on the Lord's behalf. People are always ready to blame the Supreme Lord, according to whatever conception they have, but they're never ready to blame themselves. Just like I was talking to one 60-year-old lady yesterday and her daughter at the Sunday feast. And the lady was very troubled. She thought she had a wonderful marriage, and then her husband died. So she kept asking me, why did the Lord take Win away from me? Why did he do that? Why did the Lord take Win away? So I thought, well, maybe there's been some tragedy, you know. And, you know, he died at a young age, you know, and he, you know, and suddenly he was, you know, gone, and she was suddenly bereft, and so she kept going on and on like that. Why did God do this to me? What kind of God is this? So I just happened to casually mention, by the way, how old was he when he died? Oh, 80. This is the power of material attachment, you know. He's 80 years old. And still she won't let go. Why did God take him away? He was 80. So, I explained to her that this is all her karmic reaction. Every material activity is bound up in a complex chain of action and reaction. So, she's simply getting the suffering that she deserves. And she got the so-called material pleasure that she deserved. So, she had this complex about the Lord. Why did the Lord take Win away from me? So I said, well, look at your situation now. Just see what you're doing now and see how you're causing complications for yourself in the future. She's a 60-year-old lady, and she said, I just wanted to feel someone's arms around me. So she was, you know, having an affair with an old man who was married to someone else. What could I do? I wanted to feel someone's arms around me. She wanted to feel the hole in her heart. So she couldn't see that every action has a reaction. She lost wind in a way that made her painful. That suffering is due to karma. And now she's engaged in more activities that will bring suffering in the future. But no, she's just concerned. Why did the Lord do this? Why did the Lord do this? And her daughter is not much of a help. Her daughter's, you know, knows her mother's having what used to be known as an adulterous affair. But the daughter, you know, sometimes ladies, they sympathize with each other. You know, you got to do what you got to do, you know. So the daughter was saying, well, Mom, you know, I wish the guy would make up his mind. I mean, either he should, you know, drop his wife, or he should stay, or he should drop you, or, but he wants both. So these things are going on in such an old age, you know. People don't learn their lesson, but they're ready to blame God. She, you know, she had it all figured out. I just wanted to feel someone's arms around me. 60 years old, this is still going on. Mm-hmm. Never mind, it's someone else's wife. You know, you got to do what you got to do. Put some meaning in your life. In devotional service, Krishna consciousness, we learn to put the blame on ourselves. Krishna is all good. By Krishna speaking Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna, he aims his instructions at the whole world. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explains different things like karma, jnana, yoga, mystic yoga. But ultimately, the last thing he says is most important. Just forget everything else and render service to me, surrender to me. Now, sometimes people say that Bhagavad Gita is confusing because it talks about so many things. Which one should you do? Even if you think that is so, it is the last thing that is said that is the most important. Just like if on Monday I tell you, last Monday I told you, go to the store, and then on Sunday, yesterday, I told you, go somewhere else, you would take the last thing I said. So, what is the last word in Bhagavad Gita? Sarva dharman pratyaja mam ekam sharanam vraja. Abandon all conceptions of what you think should be done and just surrender to Krishna. So let's first of all exonerate Krishna. He's not trying to entrap us. He's not trying to make our life miserable, prevent us from going back to Godhead. No. Now, if we're going to find a fault, where do we look? In ourselves. Prahlad Maharaj says, on the other hand, one who desires some material benefit in exchange for devotional service cannot be your pure devotee. Indeed, he can be no. Indeed, he is no better than a merchant who wants profit in exchange for service. So we might feel, you know, well, it's not a big deal. Everyone knows, you know, we're not a pure devotee, so all right, no big deal there. But Prahlad Maharaj says, indeed, he's no better than a merchant who wants profit in exchange for service. Now, you don't really want to be like that. It's called Vanik Seva. This is a very nice term for everyone to learn. Vanik Seva. Seva means service. Vanik means merchant. Merchant service. Oh Lord, you know, please give me a Mercedes-Benz. Vanik Seva. I want something from you, Krishna, and I'm serving so nicely. One devotee, his Wengrihasta family put on a very nice play. They were having a social gathering, and so they put on a nice play in which the he's just a simple devotee. He's chanting by the side of the Ganges and washing his one set of cloth in the Ganges. And every time he hangs his cloth on the bushes to dry, some mouse comes and kind of drags the cloth down and chews on the cloth. So the devotee gets in a lot of anxiety. Every time I wash my one set of cloth in the Ganges and hang them up on the riverbank, this mouse comes and just chews on them. My life is really upset. This is just too much. So the devotee goes to the spiritual master and says, Guru Maharaj, you have any instruction for me? And the spiritual master says, just chant Hare Krishna and live simply. But then the devotee points out, yes, yes, I want to do that, but I have this mouse that keeps disturbing my cloth. I can't function. It's just this one thing is just bothering me. So his spiritual master says, all right, looks like you need a cat. Oh, very nice idea, Guru Maharaj. Thank you so much. Dandavats, all glories to your lotus feet. I need a cat. Yes. Thank you, thank you. You're very practical, Guru Maharaj. The devotee was doing it was very good. You know? He showed it to Lal. Oh, you're very practical, Guru Maharaj. That's why I surrendered to you, you know. You know just what to do. Okay, a cat, yeah. That'll solve everything. So he gets a cat. And there he is washing his one set of cloth in the Ganges again, you know. And, of course, no more mouse because the cat's there. But then what happens with the cat?
Meow, meow.
Cats want to eat. And so, now he's trying to chant Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. By the bank of the Ganges, Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare.
And the cat, meow, meow, meow. And so finally, it's just too much, you know. My life is just, you know, I thought I was solving the situation with the mouse by getting a cat, but now I can't stand this cat.
Meow, meow.
I know what to do. I'll go ask Guru Maharaj. He knows everything. So he goes to his spiritual master. Guru Maharaj, all glories to you. Savior of the world, Patita Pavana. Deliverer of the most fallen. Knower of everything. Do you have any instruction for me? And so the spiritual master says, like I said, chant Hare Krishna and live simply. Yes, yes, of course, Guru Maharaj. Of course, I always quote you wherever I go. I'm always trying to inspire people with your instruction. But there's just one minor problem. Yes, when I got the cat, it chased away the mouse. But now the cat is hungry. What do I do? Please help me. You'd better help me. You know, I'm your dependent. Please solve the situation for me. So the spiritual master thought and said, obviously, if the cat is hungry, you have to feed the cat milk. And so that you can get milk, you need a cow. Oh, thank you, Guru Maharaj. Now, once again, you've just solved everything. Of course, a cow. A cow to feed the cat to keep away the rat. Oh, yes, it all makes sense. So he gets a cow and he's sitting by the bank of the Ganges, and the cow's right there, and he's, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. He's thinking, no cat, no mouse, and now, the cat will be satisfied because there's a cow, and the cow gives milk, and then everything will be all right. Please, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Then the cow starts mooing. Moo. And he's just, anyway, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. The cat keeps mooing. And then he begins to realize, wait a minute. It's not that the milk goes automatically from the cow to the cat. Someone has to milk the cow. I didn't know about that. Oh, I don't have time to milk a cow. I'm busy chanting and washing my set of cloth in the Ganges. I have no time. That's too complicated. The cows, well, there's only one thing to do. Go ask Guru Maharaj. So, comes before Guru Maharaj, pays his full dandavats. All glories to you, Patita Pavana. All glories. Light of the Bhagavat. Super soul in the heart. General of the Sankirtan army. So, the spiritual master says, yes, yes. Do you have any instruction for me? I said, As always, chant Hare Krishna and live simply. Oh, of course, Guru Maharaj, of course. There's no doubt about that. And as always, I'm quoting you to everyone I meet. It's just that, you know, we dealt with the mouse by getting a cat. And then we dealt with the cat by getting a cow. But, you know, in order to get the milk from the cow, it looks like something is needed because, you know, it's just getting too complicated for me, you know. And I'm sure with the right decision, you know, we can solve it all with one stroke. Just the right thing. Just, you know, one more thing is necessary, then it'll all come together, finally. And then I can wash my one set of cloth in the Ganges, and I can chant Hare Krishna, and indeed I'll live simply. But, you know, they just, these various things were required, and now there's this, it looks like the last problem. Milking the cow. So the spiritual master looks around and, well, it's obvious what you need to milk the cow. You need a wife. And the man says, oh, of course, Guru Maharaj. Oh, this is the greatest thing you've said yet. Oh, it's just obvious. Yes. Now I understand Krishna's arrangement. Yes. The mouse was just troubling me, so I get a cat. And the cat was meowing, so I would get a cow. And then, in order to milk the cow, I need a wife. Of course, it's all fitting into place now. Now it makes sense. The whole sequence, I can see Krishna's mercy in action. Thank you, Guru Maharaj. Thank you so much. How transcendental you are. So the devotee doing the plays, he's doing like that. And so he's chanting by the Ganges, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. There's one set of cloth is drying on the bush next to him, and there's the cow. His kids were playing the part of the cow. They had something over their heads. And so, actually, his kids were playing the part of the mouse and the cat, too. So, two of them played the part of the cow, you know, the back and the front of the cow. And so he's chanting, and the cow's mooing, and then from nowhere, you know, comes the wife. That was actually his wife. And she's sitting under the cow, milking it, and he's, you know, very happily chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. The situation is solved. Yeah. Simple living, like Guru Maharaj said, you know. Cow, milk, cat, wife. Yes, yes. Very simple. And so the wife is milking, and he's thinking, yes, this is really it. This is exactly what I need. And then it's his actual wife, so she started yelling at him. Didn't you tell me you're taking the boy to karate today? You don't spend any time with him. Why do I always have to take care of the kids? Didn't you promise me you were going to take her to her singing lessons today? Then he starts doing a flashback. Well, how did I get all these kids? First it was, you know, the cat. First it was the mouse, then the cat, then the cow, then a wife. Oh, that's right, I remembered. She just wanted one kid, and that was all. But then we had one kid, and she realized that the kid would be lonely, so we need another kid. But that kid was a girl, and we didn't have a boy yet. So therefore, we figured one more, and we'll be a boy. So that's number three. And so, yes, we did have a boy, but now I have three kids, and that, now she's screaming at me, why don't I take care of the kids? Why don't I ever spend any time with the boy? And on it goes. And
then he goes back to Guru Maharaj. He's so distressed. Guru Maharaj,
just too much, this household life. It's just a burden. You know what Prahlad Maharaj says, Griham Andakupam, it's a dark well. Can't handle this. My wife's on my case all the time. When I married her, she was sweet as can be, but then as soon as the marriage progressed, you know, she's on my case, you know, all the time, needling me, and,
So the spiritual master just looks at him and says, I kept telling you to chant Hare Krishna and live simply. So then, finally, at that point, the message sinks in, you know, to the person. So then, he turns to the audience and says, why do I have to learn by experience? Three times! And he calls over to his wife, how many children do we have? She says, three. They actually did have three between the two of them. Jesse, a fool three times. I mean, this is his realization that if Brahmacharis or Sannyasis had done such a play, you know, everyone would have thrown bottles at them. But because it was a householder, you know, it was really funny. And that's how he feels. But the point is, we have material desires, and we complicate our lives with them. We think it's Krishna's business to fill our material desires. Krishna owes me material happiness. Krishna owes me a nice wife, a nice husband, a nice home, nice kids, nice car, nice job. It all should come to me because I'm serving Krishna. No, that is Vanik Seva, merchant service. It's business. And it will not satisfy us. How do we get purified from this business mentality? By rendering devotional service. But if we are not staunch in rendering regular devotional service, we'll not get purified. Krishna is not impressed by a show. We all know how to do show bottle devotional service. When there's something we want, all of a sudden then we put on all sorts of, you know, yes, Krishna ki jai. Bhakti ki jai. Glories to Prabhupada. Now, Krishna's looking at what we do every day. Just like, you know, those of you who have kids. See, Moni Bunda has a kid. Anyone else here? No, I think only Moni Bunda. Yes, you have a kid. So, do you ever see how your kids behave before their birthday? Right before their birthday or Christmas? How is it?
Sucking up big
time. So sweet. Yes, Mom. Of course, Mom. Right. Because they know it's the day before my birthday or it's the day before Christmas. And the parents, they know it's a big show. Does your daughter do like that? Or she gets whatever she wants anyway. Yeah. And the parents know this is a show, but, you know, hey, it's part of being a kid. What can we do? Similarly, devotees, they can also do like that. You know, they put on a show before the Lord, hoping to get what they want. They put on a show before the spiritual master, hoping that this will all help the process of the furtherance of material desires. Yeah, just like a little kid before his birthday or a little kid before Christmas. Now, Krishna is observing everything, and Krishna is more impressed by our day-to-day sacrifice. That's where it's really at. Not these spurts in devotional service meant for some material reason. No, Krishna wants to see our day-to-day steadiness. That will get us out of this habit of Vanik Seva, mercantile service. Because it is a sacrifice to try and serve Krishna every day through so-called good times and bad times. That shows real commitment. That shows real sincerity. That in any kind of circumstance, your service goes on. By rendering service like that, day after day, out of a sense of duty, then you develop the desire to simply satisfy Krishna. For example, once some book distributors asked Srila Prabhupada, should a book distributor think, let me take birth in my next life for distributing books for Srila Prabhupada? And he said, that is pure devotional service. In other words, you're desiring what Krishna wants. Our whole attempt at bhakti yoga is to develop the desires for what Krishna wants, not to kill our desires. We want to learn how to expertly desire. What is it that Krishna wants? I want that too. And Krishna, especially as Lord Chaitanya, makes his desires known. Yare deko, tare koho, Krishna upadesh. Wherever you go, whomever you meet, teach them the science of Krishna. That takes sacrifice. Our temples are bases from which we go out to do yajna. They're not places for eating and sleeping and cultivating our material desires. The temples are bases where we go out to meet people And then the temples are places of reception where the people can come and be very nicely treated in a comfortable circumstance so they can hear about Krishna effectively. The temples are not really meant for the convenience of the devotees. They're meant for the convenience of Krishna. That doesn't mean, of course, we, you know, don't give adequate facilities to our staff. Yes, of course, we give adequate facilities, but the overall purpose of the temple is to satisfy Krishna. That means anyone who's part of the temple staff or living in the temple, they should be contributing to Krishna's pleasure. Otherwise, you can live nearby or something like that. But those in the temple, they should understand, I'm living in Krishna's house. I'm Krishna's employee. What is my salary? Love of Krishna. If we have this mentality, the temple is a base to go out and contact the people. That is Krishna's desire. And you're sharing in Krishna's desire. Yajna, sacrifice performed to please the Supreme Lord. Through book distribution, through Harinam, through prasad distribution. Constantly interact with the people. And then make a nice situation for the people to come and hear about Krishna. For a real devotee, we could live under a tree, but no one will come and join us to hear about Krishna if we just say, come under the tree here. And no, people want facilities, so that's why we have these facilities. Otherwise, Prabhupada always said, actually, temple construction is not so important. Book distribution is the most important thing, but to provide a place where people can come and hear about Krishna and to engage their wealth in serving Krishna, we have these temples. In this way, we should be careful about the vanik seva, the mercantile service. I want from Krishna. We should want to give to Krishna. Of course, it is true that you are pious because you're approaching Krishna for your material desires, but it's not the standard of devotion that Krishna wants out of us. If you're not pious, you will not approach Krishna about your material desires. You'll try to solve them yourself. A pious person, however, turns to the Lord for fulfillment of desires. So we have to be very careful. Especially when devotees, they are setting up household life or considering setting up household life or are already in household life. They can lose track or lose discrimination between what is their desire and what is Krishna's desire. That's why brahmachari life is very conducive, because you can very easily see what is what. Brahmacharini life, of course, also very conducive, because you don't have much, and you can easily see what's my desire and what's Krishna's desire. But when marriage is there, you can really lose your discrimination. A devotee is always praying to the Lord, let me see how your senses can be pleased. Give me a clear vision of your senses. Just like a basketball player always wants a clear shot at the basket. I've heard all-star basketball players from the States exclaiming, look, all I need is a glimpse of the basket. Just a glimpse. For a moment, I'll get the ball in. So that's all the devotee is thinking. I just want a glimpse of Krishna's senses, just for a moment, and I'll try to please them. This is our prayer. My dear Lord, let me see your senses and how they can be pleased. That requires day-to-day purification. So we'd like to have a core of serious devotees who day after day are demonstrating commitment to the Lord's pleasure through any kind of weather. Just like the cooks, when it'll be very hot in Perth, they don't come to the temple prayers and say, it's too hot, I can't cook today. They don't do that, do they? Or when it gets to be some other kind of weather. It doesn't rain here, so I don't know. It doesn't get chilly during the day here, does it, in the winter? Yes? The Sankirtan devotees don't say, oh, we can't go out. You know, it's really cold for Perth. It's 10 degrees. No, we want to continue in a steady way. Not, oh, well, before I started going to university, I was attending the temple program, but now that I'm going to the university, you know, it's understandable that, you know, I'm not able to show the same commitment. Now, whatever we do in any circumstance, we want to go on with our basic offering to Krishna of devotional service. That will, in of itself, cut down our material desires. Any questions? You've done a statistical analysis?
Not really.
Sounds cool. It sounds good to throw out, doesn't it? 90%! I don't know if it's like that. In practical reality, if you reduce your service, your material desires increase. It's not that we have no examples of anyone becoming purified. You simply stick to the basic program, you'll become purified. Rupa Goswami gives the five angas for developing ecstatic love of Krishna. Hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. What else? Worshipping the deity. Holy place. That means the temple also. Doesn't all mean you have to take off to Vrindavan or Mayapur. What else? Chanting Hare Krishna. No. That's not part of the five angas. Tulsi Devi, deities, Bhagavatam, Maha Mantra, and holy place. Lord Chaitanya says even a partial dedication to just one of those five can arouse your ecstatic love of God. What to speak of doing all five? So we see that those devotees who just stick to it through thick and thin, they become purified and strong. Strong means they see what's Krishna's desire.
Sometimes in anything to that, you may just say external adherence to the program or the process, but...
External is better than nothing. Just like I was explaining in Los Angeles about book distribution. Sometimes it's said, oh, but devotees are just doing it externally, therefore we should stop. And they're just going out there, you know, and externally their consciousness really isn't into it, therefore we should stop it. Now, if your chanting of Hare Krishna may be mechanical, but do we tell you stop chanting? It's mechanical. No, we ask you go on chanting. And by hearing about how to chant properly, gradually your chanting will become more devotional. It's the same with book distribution. If someone wants to distribute books mechanically, we don't say, stop, you're distributing mechanically. No, go on. And hear from others how to make your book distribution more Krishna conscious. But don't stop. Don't stop your chanting. Similarly, don't stop your book distribution. So even if someone comes to the temple externally, whatever that means. You see all these buzzwords fly around and no one really asks what they mean. 90% have gone away. Or people coming to the temple externally, distributing books mechanically. I'm just kidding. Yeah, I know. You're in a good mood, so I'm just taking advantage.
No, I don't mind that sometimes, like in my own case, sometimes it's like, you know, people may be saying, oh, you're doing a nice service, but you know, in your heart, your profile may be there, but inside, you can be meditating on all sorts of outrageous things, but, you know, other people may be fooled, basically. So, I mean...
At least get the service done, and by your dedication to getting the service done, gradually the dirty things in the heart will become cleansed. Especially if you're here in class, you'll hear that you have to work on your inner self. That doesn't mean you give up your activities. I remember one, a devotee asked Srila Prabhupada a question like that. When I'm executing a routine service, like going to a shop to buy something for the deities, sometimes my head becomes full of material desires. And so what was Prabhupada's response? Well, did you go to the shop? Did you complete the errand? Did you finish the task?
So it would be inevitable then by performing duties in a proper, steady, dutiful way, it's inevitable that the consciousness will follow.
Yes, because the duties are given to you under guidance. Devotional service requires guidance. So if you're constantly accepting guidance, then the activities will bear fruit. But sometimes when devotees get older, they just don't want to listen to anybody. That's the problem. Now, I know what's going on. I've seen it all. You can't tell me. I know how to handle myself. You don't see that attitude in Srimad Bhagavatam or Chaitanya Charitamrita, do you? Anything else?
One more question, sort of on the same point. So, by dutifully performing emotional service, all auspicious qualities automatically manifest and all impanatas automatically disappear, or it must be some separate endeavor? Should we be constantly praying or just by people?
That's all part of devotional service. We must put our hearts into it. Then it'll become successful. Have you ever put your heart into something? At some point in your life, you put your heart into something. You don't have to say what it was, but you did. Everyone here knows what it's like to put their heart into something. Maybe it was stamp collecting, or maybe it was your computer. Maybe it was your car. Everyone here has put their heart into something. You have, right? It maybe didn't work out, but still you put your heart into it. It's like many ladies, they really put their heart into serving a man, you know, and it didn't work out, and they get bitter and, you know, forget these guys. Not serving a man with all his trips. But the point is, we did try to put our heart into something. That heart belongs to Krishna. Devotional service is meant for you to put your heart into it. You're all big-hearted people. So whether you're doing book distribution or cooking or your home or your office, put your heart into it. Do the activities for Krishna with your heart into it. That's the secret. You're all big lovers in of your own right. It's a fact. Bhakti is about love. It's the culture and science of real love. Love comes from the heart. So in all your activities, you should be sinking your heart into them. But you're afraid. That's why people become so-called Buddhists, so-called Falun Gong, like that, because they're afraid to put their heart into things. But they'll never be satisfied until their heart is put into the right thing. So we've got to induce all the devotees here, put your heart into bhakti yoga. That'll stop the things you're talking about. You understand? It's like you've got a big heart. But, you know, you might want to hide from that. If you put your heart into what you're doing, Krishna likes that. It's very tasty. But we've been, you know, sometimes it's difficult in devotional service. We've been disappointed by others, or we can't get along with others, and so we kind of hold our heart back. That's when the danger comes. You see, the new devotees, they put their heart into it because they're feeling such relief from the material energy. Well, most new devotees. Wow, I'm feeling relief. So let me put my heart into devotional service, whatever it is. But as devotees get older, and they go through some purification, some inconveniences while trying to serve Krishna, they may withdraw their heart. And that's where the problems come. You understand? What kind of relationship can you have in the home if you withdraw your heart from your relationship with your husband or daughter? It makes things very brittle, you know? So, just like in a relationship of this world, you have to constantly be investing your heart. Similarly, in bhakti, you have to constantly be putting your heart into it. It's heartless devotional service that gets us into trouble. That's why Krishna says at the end of Bhagavad Gita, if in performing devotional service you're fully conscious of me, you'll pass over all obstacles of conditional life by my grace. Full consciousness means putting your heart into it. I'm doing this for Krishna. Krishna has appointed me to do this task. Let me do it to my best ability. Best ability means you've got to put your heart into it. Book distributors know when they're out there putting their heart into the service, it's so enthralling. They're feeling the highest love. All right. Anything else? Okay. All glories of God. Hare Krishna.